Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Open your Bibles with me to Psalms 112. How many of you brought your Bibles? It's a good place to, when you come to church, it's a good place to bring your Bible. Okay? Bring your whatever. If I had to put a title on this message today, it would be The Established Heart. The Established Heart. It's foundational. It's where we live at. So Psalms 112 gives us some great detail about what an established heart is. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. That fears the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? It's to hate evil. That's the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13 says this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So in other words, what he's saying, I love what God loves and I hate what God hates. That's the fear of the Lord. That delights greatly in the commandment of God. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. In other words, what this man does today on earth goes into eternity, and it's a memorial forever. So in other words, what he's doing eternal stuff that will never pass away. Okay? Unto the upright, there arises light in darkness. That means when you go through dark times, all of a sudden, because you delight greatly in God and in the Word of God, that light's going to spring up and let you see how to walk and how to act and how to talk when you go through dark times. That's what that's saying. He's gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. A good man shows favor and lends, but he also guides his affair with discretion. Verse 6, surely he will not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. Did you notice that? His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. He's not afraid of evil tidings. Do you notice this though? He didn't go and say, call up Pastor Gabe. When something bad came to him, he didn't go and say, let me call up Pastor Gabe to find out what I have to do. He didn't call up James and Candy Bertrand. What do I do when this has come to my life? What do I do? He didn't do that. He was prepared. He was fixed. He was established in his heart what he was going to do when the evil report comes. Notice this, whatever you're established in is how you will respond when problems come. Okay, watch this. Notice this, he wasn't afraid when an evil report came. He was fixed. He knew exactly what he was going to do and how he was going to respond. Can we be like that? That's what I want. I want to look at something, okay, I want to know how I'm going to act before a problem comes. I want to know what I'm going to do before it comes. So that when it does come to me, it's not catching me unaware. I'm fixed. What are you going to do? I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm already established. I'm established trusting the Lord. So watch this. How could he be established? Number one, let me give you a couple of thoughts. Number one, because he knew problems would come. Sometimes we live in this world like we ain't going to face no problems. Watch, Jesus said this in John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he's telling us, listen, you're going to have problems. He's telling us that you're going to have some pressure. Why? Because you live in this planet. This guy prepared himself because he knew he lived in a world that is full of trouble. So he was ready for it before the trouble came. He knew exactly what he was going to do. Job said it this way, a man is born unto trouble. The Holy Spirit said in 1 Thessalonians 3:3, you're appointed to it. 1 Peter says this. 1 Peter 4 says this. Don't think it's strange when a fiery trial comes to you. But yet when problems come, evil comes to us, the first thing we do, I'm serving the Lord. I'm tithing. I thought the tithes were supposed to protect me like the mafia. So you know, you give me $5, I'm going to take care of you, make sure nobody breaks in. So we do that, but we assume things that the Bible doesn't say. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to have problems. Just because you tithe and you serve Jesus doesn't mean you're going to have problems. Okay, all right. Okay, we're locating you now. So watch this. But it does mean, Jesus said this, in the world you're going to have to, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if I've overcome the world, I used to tell him that all the time. That's easy for you to say. You're in heaven and I'm going through this hell right here in Lauraville, Louisiana. He said, Randy, I live in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. If God doesn't change your circumstance, he's trying to change you in the circumstance. Come on. One of two things are going to happen. He's either going to change your circumstance or he's going to change you. So watch this. Psalms 34, 19. So let me give you some good news. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them. Come on. All. If he doesn't deliver you from it, he'll deliver you through it. We pray and we say, okay, God, when we pray, we don't say this, but that's how we act. If you're going to come, you got to come this way. We tell him how to answer the prayer, how to do it, and let's watch this. Prayer lets God be God all by himself. How you want to do it, that's up to you. When you want to do it, that's up to you. I know your timing is perfect timing. And you will make this thing work for my good, even when I can't see it. Wives, look at your husband and say, you're working something good in me. Come on. You're working something good in me. Watch this. What you're established in is how you're going to respond. I remember years ago in the restaurant business, I would go to work at 5 o'clock every morning and get off around 10:30, 11 o'clock every night. So I worked. How many of you know that work creates opportunities? Okay. So one day I was dealing with some gumbo and I took it out of the walk-in cooler and I said, it tasted pretty good when it was cold. After I put it on the fire, I kept smelling something in that kitchen. Something don't smell right. Something don't smell right. I went check, that gumbo was spoiled. But cold, it tasted all right. But hot revealed what it really was. Something about when we go through times, when we go through the fire, when everything, there's no fire, everything looks good. But when we go through some times, it reveals the content, the quality of our faith. The other part, how could he be established? He was trusting the Lord. He spent time in the Word. This is your life. It's not a history book. It's a book of promises that God's going to let you know. This is what, when you go through this, I have a promise for everything that pertains to life and to godliness. Do you have 2 Peter? Put that up there. 2 Peter chapter 1. Do y'all have that? Okay, there it is. Watch this. 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, excuse me, to them that have obtained like precious faith, that through the righteousness of God, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life. Say that, all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises. So watch this. It doesn't matter what you're going through in life. God has already told you what he will do even before you got there. He knew you were going to go through it even before. He knew the trucking business would go bad. See, this guy was established because he spent time in the Word looking for something. He wasn't living like he was living in the Garden of Eden. He was living on planet Earth where there is trouble. You have an outlaw spirit that's going to use people to come to bring pressure on you. He was prepared for what came to him even before it came. What came to him revealed what he was doing in secret. Come on. Watch this. Let me give you some good thoughts on this. Wisdom. Now, all of this, you're going to shout after a while, okay? Let me just kind of beat you up a little bit. And so watch this. Wisdom foresees evil and prepares for it. Wisdom foresees evil and prepares for it. Proverbs 22:3 in the Passion. A prudent person with insight foresees danger coming and prepares himself for it. But the senseless rush blindly forward and suffer the consequences. A prudent man foresees and prepares himself. Watch this. Let me prepare you for something. Let me pastor you for a minute. You're going to die. Okay. Right there. Brethren, that's not edifying. It might not be edifying, but it's going to prepare your family for when you die. It'll be edifying when you leave and they're there. I got the money. I can pay for his funeral. I can live the rest of my life happy. Come on. Prepare for it. A wise man prepares for evil. He prepares for it. Let me wake you up a bit. You're living in a bad world. There's bad times coming. You need to prepare by getting in this book. Now I'm going to say some things that are going to shock you. But I got to do it. Watch this. We can foresee what's coming and not get trapped by it. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Look right here. He said, watch and pray lest you enter into it. Watch and pray lest you enter into it. Some of the stuff you and I have gotten into, Jesus never wanted us in it. So you know when we're in it? The Lord. It must have been the Lord's will. No, he just said, watch and pray lest you enter into it. Some things he never wanted you in. Listen good. Hear what I'm saying. Some things he never wanted you and I to enter into. But we got there. The Lord's trying to teach you. Well, yeah. I gotta teach you. You stuck in here. You're in this mess. I gotta do it. So what he does, he gives us grace and mercy, and as we pursue, but he never wanted us in it from the beginning. He wanted us to learn through his book so we wouldn't have to experience it on our own. Pastor Randy, and I've heard this, okay. I don't know how in the world I woke up with this ugly woman lying in bed by me. Oh, yeah. I've been counseling them. I said, look right here. I said, I can tell you how you got there. I said, it started with a thought months ago. One little thought you didn't take authority over. One little thought. He could have gone to the book and read the book and say, listen, adultery is going to cause you and your family a lot of pain. But if you would have looked at the book, you wouldn't have done it. Come on. Come on. What do I do now? Repent. And let God develop some character on the inside of you. Will God restore my... I don't know. He might. But you know you have somebody else that has to make a decision in that. Watch this. We can't say, when we make decisions, we can't say the consequences like we want them to happen. They're already set. You do this, this is what happens. You do this, this is what happens. Come on. The other part of this, we can foresee things coming and prepare for it. God. Psalms 105, verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold as a servant for a servant. Notice this. Wisdom, he used Joseph's, God sent Joseph. Before the famine got there, God was dealing with him to send him to Egypt. Why? There was a famine coming. So when the king had a dream, Joseph interpreted the dream. You're going to have 7 years of greatness, abundance, and 7 years of famine. So watch this. He said, king, do this in the 7 years, store it up. So that you can endure and live when the 7 bad times come. He couldn't change it. You notice that he couldn't change what was coming? You know, some of the things in the Bible, you can fast and pray all you want. What Jesus said, it is coming. You can fast and pray. You'll never change it. If he said it, it's coming. So what if so now what do we do? Are we helpless? No, we're going to use wisdom and prepare ourselves for what is coming. He prepared Egypt and his people for what was coming. So watch this. Pastor Randy, how does that apply to me? when you were making a whole lot of money, you thought money was going to keep and business was going to keep going like it would never stop. And the Holy Spirit kept telling you, save some of that. Save some of that. There's a time coming. You don't see it. Save some of it. Put some away. Put some cushion away. Use some wisdom so that when it does come, you've already prepared for it. You don't have to use faith. You can use your wisdom. We mix up using faith and wisdom a whole lot. We try to use faith when we need wisdom. We try to use wisdom when we need faith. But if we'd listen to the one on the inside of us, he would tell us exactly what to do for what is coming. Because he knows the past, the present, and the future. Does that make sense? So watch this. This man was prepared because he delighted greatly in this book. The Holy Spirit in John 16, he will show you things to come. He'll lead and guide you into all truth. So watch this. If you're only in this book once a week, you'll never know and hear what he has to say. Oh, no, y'all foundations, right? That's what y'all been teaching. Okay, this is foundation, right? Yeah, foundation. Well, that's good instructions. So why is this? If you get in the Bible and say, Pastor Randy, I don't get nothing out of the Bible. Stay in it. Let me tell you something. When I first got in this, I would read hours a day. I'd go to my pastor. I'm not getting nothing out of it. Stay in it. He looked at me, stay in it. Okay. I'd go back home. I'd get in the book. I'd stay in it. I'd read it. I'd throw the Bible down. Pow. I'm not getting nothing. And I'd hear him, stay in it. Till all of a sudden one day, the voice of that word spoke to me. I was ruined. I was ruined from dead religion. All of a sudden, this book, instead of becoming a history book, became the written word, became the living word to me. Faith came alive in me. I want to tell you something. You can't fight the devil with information. You better have some revelation. You better act on this book to get him on the move. Does this make sense? I know I'll never get to where I'm going, but okay. All right, that's all right. Hey, I'm going to give you what I got. Not all of it, because y'all couldn't handle all that right now. But so I says, let me show you what a wise man, let me show you what a wise man does. A wise man asks questions. What if I lose my job? What will I do? Because you think, watch this, you think your job's going to last forever. And you never go look in the book to find out who's the source of your job. Your job is resource. God is source. Never confuse them. We make job our God. And then we lose it, we find out what kind of little puny God we served. God is the source. Everything else is resource. He knows where every resource is. This is good pastoring. It's nuts and bolts. It's foundational. So watch this. What if you lose your job? Are you prepared? What is your heart established in? I can go to the Bible. Let me start looking to find out just in case that does come to me because I live in a bad world. What if I get a bad diagnosis? I know y'all don't want to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it. Let me talk about it. Y'all just sit there and listen. What, What if I get a bad report? What am I going to do? What's your estate? What do I need to start looking? What if a diagnosis of cancer comes? I remember, listen good to what I'm saying. I remember I was in this book day and night. And the Lord spoke to me out of this book. You're going to go down to the depths of the earth. You're going to go down. He said, but I'm going to raise you up again. I'm going to comfort you on every side. I mean, I'm going to increase you. A year and a half, I told my wife, I said, that first part that he spoke to me, I don't like. The last part, I like it. So I kept pondering. I said, you must want me to teach that at Bible study. I have yet to teach it at Bible study. 3 months or 2 months before I got diagnosed with cancer, I'm in the Bible every day and night. I'm in prayer day and night. I'm fellowshipping with him. I'm walking with him. Came on the side of my bed and spoke to me. He said, you're going to go through a tough time. Out of 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11. He said, I want you to know about the pressure you're going to go through. You're going to go through some times that you have the sentence of death in you. You're going to go through the hardest time of your life. Fear not. I'm going to deliver you and I'm going to raise you up. I didn't know I was going to get diagnosed with cancer. But when the diagnosis came, did it hit you? It did. And I was ready. It did. My wife and I cried. Watch this. How could this be? I'm a man of God. I'm serving God. I'm teaching Bible study. I'm counseling people. Then I'm in the book. I'm tithing. I'm fighting battles for the church. How could this be? Watch this. It doesn't immune you from problems. Problems will come, but I know the end of the thing. This poor man, when pressure came to him, he was established. We're going to trust the Lord. That's what my wife and I did. We're going to trust the Lord. Come in agreement and pray, and we're going to stand. We did, he did. And here it is. What are you established on? Let me give you three people that were established trust in the Lord. Let me give you this quote before I get there. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. How many of you are going to go get your Bibles and you're going to start looking up promises of God? Watch this. They got a promise in there for your kids. They have a promise in there for your finances. They have a promise in there for your health. They have a promise in there for your mind. They have a promise in there for your blood. They have a promise in there for everything. Everything that pertains to life. Let me give you the example of these three men. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. Now Nebuchadnezzar had set up a golden image and he had music playing. Said, wherever you hear the sound of the music, you bow down and you worship the image that I have set up. So when it came down to them, notice this, we're not careful to answer you. We're not careful to answer. We know what we're going to do. Notice what he goes on to say. If so be our God whom we serve, he's able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Verse 18. But if not, be it known, O king, we will not serve your God nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Watch this. Culture today, I am telling you, it's just like that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't let the world mold you and shape you into thinking like it because of the fire it brings. They were established. We're not careful to answer you. They didn't call up the prayer line. They didn't call up that pastor. They didn't call up their soul. What do we do? What do we do? He wants us to bow. Everybody else is bowing. What do we do? They didn't ask all of. They were ready. They were established. They knew exactly what they were going to do when the pressure came. Do you? Watch this. When Paul and I were in business, and we got criticized by the best professional criticizers. Y'all know what I mean? People that know everything and have nothing. In business, the Lord put it on my heart, I don't want you serving alcohol in a seafood restaurant. Ooh. I have people calling me out. You're not serving any alcohol. We ain't going. I had women call me up. Yeah, but just a little beer. What's that with seafood? The Lord put it in my heart not to do it. All of a sudden, the restaurant's full. They had a big table. People wanted alcohol. They call me out. We want you to tell us why you don't want to serve alcohol. How many of you know the pressure's on? The fire's on. So they looked at me and said, why don't you serve alcohol? There's nothing wrong with drinking a little drink. I said, for you it's not, but for me it is. I said, I taught my daughter you don't need alcohol to live, survive, and prosper in business. So for me to sell it and me teach her that, I would become a hypocrite. How many of you know that went over like a lead balloon? You what? You're calling me a hypocrite? I said, I didn't call you. I said, I would be a hypocrite. But when I said that, it shined light on her. They said, we'll never come back. I'd go outside and I'd pray, God, the peace of God would come upon me. Stay with it. Don't turn it around. Don't turn it loose. I'd go to church. There was a woman, she was a prophetess. She got up there one night. She said, there's a businessman in here tonight. If she would have said, a little bald-headed businessman, I said, that's me. I was over there. That was me. She said, you've made a stand because of your conviction for God. What God told you to do. People have been leaving your business. Hear the word of the Lord. For everyone that leaves, I'll bring you 10. Listen good to what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a quote now. Most Christians serve God out of convenience and not out of conviction. Let me say it to this crowd here. Is your Christianity and your faith convenient? You're serving Jesus out of convenience? Look right here. Come on. Or out of conviction? Conviction is, this is the way I am going to live. I don't care who comes, who lives like me. I could care less. This is where I stand because I heard from God. It's time in the church. We need men and women to rise up with some backbone and say, this is it. This is how I'm going to live. And that's it. I didn't even get well. Okay. Did anybody misunderstand what I just said? Watch this. For so much of the church, look right here. Look at me. I'm talking to you. The gospel is a gimme gospel. My name is Jimmy. I'm going to take all you gimme. And Jesus said, you must lose your life to save it. With Jesus, it wasn't convenient. He suffered. He got persecuted. He got spit on, misunderstood, and died. That's the power of this book. Come on. These three men, we're not careful to answer you. We don't have to call up nobody to let you know how I'm going to stand and how I'm going to live my life. I won't bow because the Lord says you don't bow down to any other graven images. I am the Lord. I am the God. And you only wrestle. Well, you know what this means? Y'all gonna have to get me back to get some more of this stuff because I didn't even go all the way through with it. All right, give Jesus, come on, give it up to him. Woo. Give it all to him, all of it, all of it. We give you all the glory. I want to pray with you. How many of you can say that this word touched me? Pastor Randy, you spoke to me. Put your hands up. How many of you said, Pastor Randy, I've yielded. I compromised. Because of the pressure, peer pressure of what people would think about me. And I want to be free of that today. I know what that is. My whole Christian life's been like that. Inside the church and out. I want to pray for you, and I want you to keep sitting up. If that is you, you want me to pray for you, I want you to stand up, break shackles, break fear, stand up, and I'm going to pray for you. If that is you today, come on, it's going to take. I said it that way to give you an opportunity to break shame and fear. If you can't do it with your family, how in the world are you going to do it in the world? Anybody else? Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I haven't been as vocal and made a stand in my Christian life like I should have. Forgive me. I surrender my life completely to you. Now, Father, give me a holy boldness and a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that I'll be able to stand in the face of persecution and in the face of affliction, established in you. In Jesus' name, break fear, break intimidation and the pressure of the world. In the name of Jesus, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. In Jesus' name. Come on and let's give Jesus a hand clap.